Investors often confuse action with progress. That's one of the insights coming out of a new report from Morningstar on Canadian investor behavior. Christopher Davis is the report's author. He joins us now to talk about these findings. Hello there.
Hi there.
Last 10 years, the average Canadian diversified equity fund returned almost 4.4%. The average investor slightly under 3% annually over the decade, which is a gap of about 1.4 percentage points. This is a problem. Why?
Well, if you're not doing as well as your funds are doing, you're leaving a lot of money on the table. Over a 10-year period, if you had a $100,000 investment at the beginning of the period, the gap there would cost you about $20,000 over 10 years. And so if you were to magnify that over a 30-year period, let's say, I mean, $20,000 is real money, but, you know, imagine the toll that bad behavior takes on your portfolio over the long haul.
Yeah, compounding year over year. Now, often we talk about fees and the challenge that investors have when they pay a lot on a mutual fund MER versus if they did it with a lower cost option. This is not what we're talking about, though. We're talking about bad investor behavior and a number of reasons that you assert, including this quote that I said off the top: investors often confuse action with progress. What do you mean?
Well, a lot of investors think if they just sit and hold their investments, or they patiently, and add a certain set amount to their portfolios every single month, that's kind of boring, that, they're not being active enough, they're not taking advantage of opportunities. If they meet with their advisor every single quarter or month or year, and they see the advisor hasn't done a whole lot, they might think, oh, well, my advisor is lazy, not doing his or her job, but that may not really be the case. So a lot of action is just predicated on this notion that if you have to do something in order to add value, and often action in investing, because it costs money to trade, because people are driven by emotions, often action leads you to make big mistakes.
Right, right. So it's not the same thing as with a cleaning person. They need to be taking actions to clean your house regularly. But
yeah.
When it comes to your portfolio, you ran the numbers on this do-nothing portfolio. What were some of the more nuanced findings there?
Well, we found that investors that did nothing at all, they just invested and sat there, often did better than the fund itself. In Canada, we actually found weaker findings with the do-nothing portfolio versus other markets. So, maybe it's not conclusive. Maybe in some cases, investors should think about whether their portfolios need a house cleaning. Not all action is unproductive.
Right. Dollar cost averaging is your friend, as you say. Buy every month. Sometimes the price is going to be high, sometimes it's going to be low. That theory has been around for a very long time. You have an example in your report that you include that references Australia. Can you give us the basics there on what you infer from what happens with their superannuation funds?
Yeah, their superannuation funds are funds that are specifically designed for these compulsory retirement plans. So, just like you may have some kind of workplace pension plan that is voluntary. Well, in Australia, that's mandatory. So everybody in the country is a dollar cost averager. And, the superannuation funds, because they're designed just for these retirement plans, are, essentially a great example of what happens when everybody dollar cost averages. And, across time periods, across different kinds of funds, investors actually did better than their funds. Mm-hmm. Over the long haul. And so I think that really is a testament to the power of dollar cost averaging. You mentioned this idea has been around for a long time. And I guess there is a reason why it has been around for a long time. It's time tested, it's enforced discipline. And, most of us are too busy to manage our investments, every single day or even every single month. And so, going on autopilot removes the emotion from the equation.
What did you learn about volatility?
Well, we generally found, that the more volatile the fund, the less well investors are able to use it. And so you know, funds that are really volatile, investors tend to buy in, you know, after they've had a really great run. So investors like upside volatility. They love it. You know, nobody is unhappy when their fund is up 30% in a year. But highly volatile.
They wouldn't, probably wouldn't even call it volatility. They would just call it like, I am so smart.
Right.
I chose the best fund ever.
Yeah, exactly. But investors really hate downside volatility. You know, so what they end up doing is they buy after the fund has had a good run, and you know, when the funds get into trouble, they sell. They don't like the downside volatility. You know, so these funds tend to have worse investor returns.
Know thyself and thy funds is one other phrase here, and certainly some self-awareness is important. But I find people often they mismanage the risk component because sometimes they have the emotional risk trump everything. It trumps the practical risk, the risk that they can actually withstand and maybe should be able to withstand because it's going to be helpful to the return over time. How do you reconcile those two things?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a tricky one. I kind of sometimes find the opposite. Investors think they can handle a huge loss, and they really can't. I think there's maybe, you know, finding that middle ground and try to straddle the difference between what you should be able to handle given your age and your risk tolerance and what you can actually handle, you know, because there's often a gap there. And I do think that investors would be wise to think about, you know, what they can handle. If, you know, they're a 30-year-old investor, they can handle a lot of exposure to equities. So, you know, that investor shouldn't be too scared or, you know, frightened by the merest whiff of volatility.
Yeah, because I remember in 2008 when the markets were cratering and people were obviously very, very concerned. But for those, I'm in my 40s. Back then, I would have been in my mid-30s. Didn't futz me in the least. It's totally fine. Now, I've been covering this for a couple of decades, so I had the perspective. But practically, that decline, as horrific as it was immaterial to a 35-year-old saving for retirement.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, in that case, really doing nothing or sticking to your long-term plan, you know, would be the best thing to do. And I guess one of the problems that investors have is their risk tolerance changes based on what the market environment is. So if you would have asked those investors in 2006 and 2007, they would have been maybe fine with risk because they've had several years of really great returns. You ask them in 2009, oh, I can't handle any risk
right,
at all.
Right.
So that's why I think tethering back to what your actual time horizon is a great reality check.
One last question here. We will, in all likelihood, see a market pullback at some point in the future. I mean, inevitably, it's going to happen at some point in our lifetimes. But after a decade of stock market growth, it's going to happen who knows where. Fundamentals aside, it's going to happen at some point. What advice would you have for investors now? Well, they can see things clearly. Well, markets are, you know, hovering at these record levels. What would be the number one thing that you would have them keep in their heads? And well, their hearts.
Well, I mean, I think maybe it's a good time to, you know, reexamine their overall asset allocation, you know, make sure it's suitable for their needs going forward. If they haven't rebalanced their portfolio back to their original plan, you know, they may have outsized exposure to stocks because stocks have been on this multi-year run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's time to cut it back a bit. So, you know, when you have that inevitable turbulence, it'll be just less jarring because your portfolio will be, you know, less exposed
right,
to it. But generally, if you have a good plan, just stick with it.
Stick with it. Christopher, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having
me. Appreciate it. Christopher Davis is with Morningstar.